Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the program. I am Peter Sampson. This is Believe in Blazers on the Believe Podcast Network. Great to be with you. The season is officially over. And what a season it was, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Just because the season's over doesn't mean that I have nothing to talk about. Pod will be rolling a couple times a week all summer long. Trades, free agency, the draft, multiple draft picks, decisions to be made, questions to be answered, and so on and so forth. A ton to get to. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast if you've just come across it, searching Blazers, Rip City, NBA Portland, what have you. Go ahead and hit subscribe for me if you want to stay locked in on the Trailblazers all summer long. So the season's over, 21-61. Shoot, that'll happen. Yeah, not a great year for the Trailblazers, record-wise, performance-wise. Look, we did see a lot of growth from a handful of players. We did see some development. I mean, obviously, the injury issues, the main thing. I mean, you talk about, so who are sort of the five key players, most important players today? And I'm not talking about, you know, future potential or anything like that. But, I mean, really, like day one of the season, you're talking, okay, Scoot Henderson, Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Jerami Grant, DeAndre Ayton, right? That's sort of the ideal starting lineup for the team if you're looking to, you know, develop some guys and also be competitive, be as competitive as possible. That's sort of what you're looking for with that lineup. Well, that lineup played something like four games together all season long. Obviously, Anthony Simons, you know, in the first half of the first game, tears the thumb ligament. And Scoot Henderson deals with the ankle. And then Shaedon Sharpe deals with his stuff. DeAndre Ayton in and out with the knee issue, the elbow issue. He missed the end of the season with a quote-unquote lower back issue. I'll talk about that in a second. And then Jerami Grant shut down with the hamstring issue. He was listed as doubtful, seemingly in perpetuity for the last, you know, month and a half of the season. They finally just started listing him as out for the last week and a half. So the Blazers, you know, they match up with the Houston Rockets in the final home game, fan appreciation night. By the way, I kind of, in the last app of this pod, I kind of dug into the Blazers just a little bit for, you know, fan appreciation night. What do? Oh, you give 10,000 fans some lip balm. Awesome. To their credit, I have to give them some credit. This is cool. They sent a season ticket holder, or they're going to send a season ticket holder to New York for the NBA draft. So the Blazers, you know, a couple first-round picks, a fan is going to be in attendance, and they're going to be the first one to know who the Blazers take with what's hopefully a top three draft pick. So, look, credit where credit's due. If I'm going to knock you for some ridiculous lip balm, then you deserve to get credit for doing something awesome like that, right? So they did, and they do. In that game, though, Blazers hanging with the Rockets. Good game. But then, if you're checking the NBA scoreboard, you see that the San Antonio Spurs somehow, with 0.9 seconds left, took the lead on the Denver Nuggets. And you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Top three lottery odds are back on the menu, boys. I imagine someone got in Coach Billups' ear. It's like when George W. Bush was reading to those kids in Florida and someone just, sir, like someone did that with Coach Billups, sir, the Spurs won. And all of a sudden, oh, Jabari Walker, ooh, knee pain. Yeah, he won't return. Oh, DeAndre Ayton, oh, lower back soreness. He won't return. Okay. Scoot Henderson had the best game he's ever had as a pro. Feels like we keep saying that, right? Dude started 6 of 6 from three. Yeah, including a logo turnaround, you know, at the shot clock. He had an amazing dunk. Dude had 30 points. I mean, it was just going off, right? He doesn't even play the fourth quarter. And you're not going to do that. And we didn't even get an email. You know, normally you get a notification, you know. Oh, Blazers PR says so-and-so is out due to this issue, will not return, or is questionable to return. Nothing comes out on Scoop. And, okay, so you kind of put two and two together and you realize what's happening, right? After the game, you know, Coach Billups is talking to us and he's like, you know, I don't even remember the question, the context, but he's like, yeah, you know, Scoot, it was, man, shoot, I wish he could have went back out there. You know, he was playing so well. And then the question comes in, yeah, what was going on with Scoop? The groin was acting up. Okay. You know what? I'll buy that. For the record, he is absolutely telling the truth. The groin was acting up. And clearly, yeah, what gave it away? Was it the 30 points in three quarters? Was it the 6 of 6 from beyond the three-point line? Was it dishing dimes? Was it the transition dunk where he exploded to the rim? Okay, I'll buy that. And you know why I'll buy that? Because ultimately it was good for the team that he sat. Because somehow the Spurs won. The Hornets won. And now the Blazers are in a three-way tie for the third best or worst, depending on how you look at it, lottery odds. That's good for the team. Now, the lottery, which we will talk about much more in depth later. It's an interesting year because not a great draft, supposedly. You know, a lot of people not high on the draft. There's opportunity there. But, you know, if there's ever a year where you maybe don't want the number one overall pick and have to commit the number one overall pick salary to a guy, it might be this year. I know everyone's hoping for that Warriors pick to be so good, but not too good. You know, you're hoping that it'll jump up to like 7 or 8 or something like that. No. I want it to jump top 4. I don't want it to convey this year because I don't think the Warriors are going to be very good next year. And next year is the year that you want to have multiple picks in the draft. There's like 5 dudes that would go number one in this draft next year. Obviously, there's Cooper Flagg, but there's a whole bunch more. They were a bunch of them were at the Nike Hoop Summit just last week here in Portland. I did not attend. If you're interested in more info on that, of course, Eric Gunderson, Sean Hyken, Danny Meringue, they were all there, and they'll let you know what they saw. So the season's over. And exit interviews took place. I do want to talk about that right now. And kind of an interesting day. Exit interviews, it's always an interesting feeling, right? Like, okay, we're done. Guys kind of want to get out, start their time off. You know, they don't, I mean, yeah, they get the summer off, but really, how much time do these dudes get off? Not a lot. I mean, we're talking a couple weeks to get their mind right, their body right, and then it's back to training, trying to, you know, back into the gym, working on filling a hole in their game, doing whatever they need to do. And it's interesting, after that Rockets game, the final home game, post-game, we actually got exit interviews from a couple guys ahead of time. Obviously, they had commitments. They had something to do. We got Robert Williams III, who hadn't spoken to the media since November. We got Shaedon Sharpe, and we got Scoot Henderson. Now the first two made sense, right? These are guys that are out for the year. It makes no sense necessarily for them not to be able to start their off season a day early. That's fine. A little surprising. Scoot obviously had something going on as well. So we spoke to the three of them, and Robert Williams, it was interesting. It had been a long time. Dude played 6 games for the Blazers before being shut down for the year. It was kind of a harbinger of how things were going to go. Said he's progressing well. And then basically every question that had to do with, well, how well? I wish I could answer that. I can't. So essentially, he couldn't give an update. I understand why, but it was a whole lot of, I mean, I'm doing well. I've progressed through, I can do certain things, light, you know, light contact, whatever. Well, when do you think you'll be back? I can't say. I'm not allowed to say. Okay. Do you feel good about your timetable? Are you matched up with it? I can't say. Okay. Well, thanks, RW3. Thanks, Time Lord. Appreciate you. And it was good. I mean, he still talked about being around the team and kind of moving. It was interesting for him to move into a situation from the Celtics, you know, where he's a younger guy or middle of the road, to all of a sudden he's like a vet, you know, on this team. He's a dude with the experience. He's a dude that's, you know, he's got finals experience, and his voice carries some weight. So we talked about kind of, you know, trying to keep guys together, you know, get everyone moving on the same page in the same direction, all that sort of stuff. It was kind of a stock, you know, exit interview situation, which, to be real, most of these are. There were a couple that were interesting, which I'm going to talk about shortly. Shaedon Sharpe also came out, and Shay is, how can I put this politely? Shay's quiet. Shay's introverted. Shay's also gotten so much better with the media since his rookie year. You know, it used to be the one word answers, deer in the headlights stuff. You ask him a question, you're looking for a long thing. Yeah. It's a little bit better than that. It's not great. He's never going to be Damian Lillard. You know what I mean? And that's okay. You're not going to get these long, thoughtful answers, you know, that'll make sure to give you a soundbite while really, you know, taking your question and answering what you, not only what you asked, but what you actually meant to ask. Damian Lillard, you know, one of the best. Some of these guys are great. Not everyone is like that. And that's okay. I think that's kind of the flack that DeAndre Ayton gets too. He's just not necessarily great in front of the media. It's not a big deal. It's not. You know, not everyone can get in front of a microphone and talk to people that are looking to pick their lives apart. And but Shay talked, and, you know, talked about the difficulties. It was tough not being able to play, wanting to get back, just getting his body right. He's not sure if the most interesting thing to me, he's not sure if he's going to play on the Canadian national team. Obviously, Olympics are coming. Team USA has all but solidified their roster. They basically announced their roster. They have one open spot. I hear Kawhi Leonard is the front runner for the final spot, by the way, with a possibility of Paul George there as well. So Shea talks, and then Scoot comes out, and Scoot is sort of the opposite as far as getting in front of the microphone. He is not afraid to talk. So he was telling us about decorating his house and what books he's been reading and how much and why he liked the Five Agreements more than the 48 Laws of Power. The reason 48 Laws of Power was a little narcissistic for his taste, by the way, which, yeah, I guess if you're trying to be Machiavellian with it, yeah, it is. But if you're just using it as a guide to understand people, very good book, highly recommended. But Scoot went in a million different directions, talked about what he wants to improve. I think that was kind of what we all want to hear. How did the rookie season go, and where do you want to improve? And, you know, obviously it's no surprise, really slow start, but Scoot significantly came on in the second half of the season, and especially in the final third or final quarter of the season. If you subscribe to The Athletic, John Hollinger, who was in that room with us, talked about Scoot Henderson's improvement and how it's kind of flying under the radar nationally because of the tough start. No one's paying attention because the Blazers lost a whole bunch of games. But if you really look at what he's done of late, A, it's been phenomenal, and B, there's definitely areas of improvement. Finishing around the rim is a key. The shooting, for the most part, has gotten pretty good, as evidenced by his 6-for-6 start from behind the three-point line. And I say start, he finished 6-of-7. He ended up missing one. But he also hit a jumper with his toe on the line. It could have been 7-for-7, but he just had his toe on the three-point line. So I highly recommend you read that. John Hollinger, The Athletic, talked about Scoot Henderson. And Scoot understands. So he's looking at it, you know, get his real quote. I'm going to sum it up. I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but it's basically get my mind right, get my body right, fast twitch, slow twitch, getting downhill, finishing around the rim, learning what finish I need to do at any given time. And of course, you know, continuing to work on the jumper as well. I mean, Scoot's a gym rat. He did say he wants to play in summer league. I imagine Shaedon Sharpe's going to play in summer league. I don't know though. Of course, you know, the team, I almost called it Team USA, Team Canada stuff, you know, coming off the injury, it being his third, going into his third year. There's a lot of reasons that he wouldn't necessarily do it, but I would love to see him do it. And then Robert Williams III. I mean, if we're being real, who knows if he even suits up for the Blazers again? I mean, Portland's got some decisions to make, which I'll get into maybe later this week. But one example, you know, something Joe Cronin's got to do. Okay, does he try to bring back Robert Williams III and see if he can rehab his value a little bit, provide value on the court, and then maybe move off of him or just keep him as a contributor? Or do you just see if anyone will offer anything for him and move him and his salary? Blazers locked into a lot of salary, and if they can maybe just get something for him, should they do it? You know, as Chauncey Billups said, that's why he's the big dog. That's why he has to make those decisions. That's why he's paid to make those decisions, because they're not easy. Okay, so now, after the horrible final game, Sacramento, by the way, shout out to Delano Banton for setting an NBA record and going 0-for-15 from behind the three-point line. Good for him. Blazers did set some unfortunate records. Delano Banton, you know, 0-for-15. Scoot Henderson, all-time worst plus or minus in a game. Blazers lost by 60 twice. They're the only team that's been beat by 63 times in franchise history. Two of them were this season. A lot of negatives this year. Again, some areas of growth, some intriguing storylines. It wasn't all bad, but man, you had to wade through a lot to sort of get to the not bad stuff, right? So after that, Monday morning, yesterday morning, we have exit interviews. It was long, it was early, and you know, the players kind of come out one by one. And for the most part, it was all kind of standard. You know, what did you learn? You know, what are you hoping for? Was it tough to deal with, you know, the injuries? What do you think it was like not having everyone here? I only really want to talk about a couple different aspects, and none of them are players. I might get into more of the players, say, later this week in the next episode of Believe in Blazers. But Chauncey Billups, you know, when he came out, Chauncey, and you can have your opinion on Chauncey, but one thing I don't think that can be denied is he's an honest dude. He gets in front of the mic and he speaks his mind, and you know, he's good with the media. He's respectful. He gives time. He'll answer you. And Chauncey really seemed disappointed with this season. And I mean, of course he would be, right? But it was like, I mean, it's a 21 win team. Isn't that about what we were expecting regardless of the injuries? I mean, you could go, okay, maybe I thought they would stay healthy and I thought that they would win 28 games or 29 games. Okay. I mean, we can get into that minutia, but ultimately this team was not built to compete. Maybe they are in the future. This team was built to get guys developed and get guys experience and get guys some run and just sort of see what you have. We all knew that. This was no secret, but Chauncey seemed really disappointed that, you know, he thought that they could compete first and develop guys second is sort of the vibe I got. And it's not that he thought like, oh, you know, we were going to be a top three seed or anything like that. But he's like, man, I really, really thought with our roster that we would be in the mix for the play-in. We'd be developing guys and we could kind of do both. And he was really, really bummed out about that. Again, he's always a pretty even keeled guy. Never raises his voice, at least to us. You know, I've seen him give it to some players on the sideline, but you know, he's not a real animated dude. He's just kind of quiet and even keeled, and he still was, but he seemed really disappointed with how the season went, to a point where it surprised me. I mean, yeah, you're disappointed that everyone's hurt, right? But that's also not a new situation. Like, we've been talking about that in post game and pre game, like every single home game, it's kind of been brought up. So it's not like, oh, I finally get to express my disappointment about the fact that my entire team has been banged up and is out. Okay. I mean, I get that, but it was just a little surprising to me that he was that kind of, I don't want to say upset or, you know, shaken up, but he was bummed. It was clearly a really difficult year for him. He said, he was like, look, out of my 3 years here, this one was the hardest one. And I mean, you sort of get that in the first year. Well, as your first year as a head coach and you have a couple vets that quit on you, you know, which happened, and Dame has the surgery. And then the next year, well, okay, you know, you've moved off some guys and you've still got Dame, but now it's surrounded by a young crew, and you started out well, you know, with the defense, and then things just fell apart, and then Dame forces his way out, and that's been lurking, you know, over the team's head, and now that's handled. So you go, okay, I mean, each of the last two seasons, they've been disappointing for their own reason, but here we are, we're in the rebuild. I would think in a way that it would maybe be the least disappointing, because at least you know what's coming. The last 2 years were kind of a surprise. This year is like, look, team's not going to win a lot of games, and you're going to have to look for other things to find enjoyment out of this season if you're a fan. And I've certainly been able to do that, but it hasn't been the Blazers winning games. So it was interesting. It was interesting to hear Chauncey say that this was his most difficult season. That being said, he will be back. We'll talk about Joe Cronin, who was the final dude to pop out for exit interviews. And it was interesting. Joe Cronin last year, what was he saying? I'm all in. We're desperate to get Damian Lillard some help. We need to do this. You know, we're so eager to push our chips in, all this stuff. I mean, I understand that you're sending a message to your superstar, and that's why you say those things, but did that help or did that hurt? You know, I think that teams knew that Portland was desperate and they weren't able to get anything done to their liking that wouldn't have really screwed them over long term. That's why they didn't do anything and Dame asked out. I mean, we don't need to relitigate that. We know what happened. But it was interesting to see this year, Joe Cronin, he sounded like a GM. And if you want to know what I mean, he barely said anything. Oh, sure, he said words. You know, his mouth and his teeth and his tongue made vowel and consonant sounds that we understand as words. But he gave nothing away. And that's good. I think he learned his lesson after last summer and, you know, at the end of last spring. You got to hold this stuff close to the vest. So we didn't get any idea what the Blazers are going to do, whether that's deals, who they're going to deal, what they're looking for in free agency, even though they're pretty darn limited. We'll talk about that later this summer, what they're looking at for the draft, of course. You always want 2 first round picks every year, right? But if you're going to have it, this is kind of the worst year to have that. He was asked about the draft and instead he just said, well, we look at it as an opportunity. There's a chance to find gold, you know, maybe something that, you know, someone that another team passed over or overlooked. Yeah, that's true. It was also just kind of boilerplate, like this draft sucks, but I'm not going to say that because ultimately we're going to bring a couple kids in. But Cronin's got some decisions to make. They have this huge roster. Like most guys are locked in. You're over the cap. And you've got potentially, you know, 2 first round picks, a couple seconds. Are you going to add 4 rookies to what's going to be 5 second year players next year and another, what, 2 or 3 third year players next year? I mean, okay, so that's like 12 dudes with 3 or fewer years experience. It's tough. And if you make a move, I mean, is it too early to push all in and get, you know, what do you look at with vets with talent or vets with experience? Do you go all in yet? Probably not. It's probably a little early. It's tough. He's got some major decisions to make. And then ultimately, like you have to make these decisions. If you're hoping for improvement next year, I got bad news for you. Next year's the year to really be bad. I mean, the Blazers, this is all going to happen again for one more season. It is. And the Blazers aren't going to be the only team doing it. I mean, you're going to see, instead of like the Wizards, the Pistons, the Blazers, to a degree, the Spurs, even though they started winning, the Hornets to a degree, instead of 5 just bottom feeder teams, you're going to see like 9 bottom feeder teams next year that just pull the plug in January and try to capture the flag, so to speak, Cooper flag. But it's not just him. There's a handful of dudes in next year's draft. So Cronin's got to make those decisions. He has to keep that in mind that, like, look, we have another year. We're not going to cop to it, of course, because a big segment of the fan base is going to be upset, but we're going to be bad again next year. And he did commit to Chauncey Billups. He was straight up asked. I think it was Aaron Fentress who asked. I could be wrong. I think it was Aaron Fentress. Are you rolling with Chauncey next year? And he said, we are committed to Chauncey. It's no surprise for a handful of reasons. One is he's under contract. So, you know, who are you going to get that's going to be better? That's like, oh, yeah, I'll take over this rebuilding team that's going to win 21 or 22 games next season. Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, I'll stake my livelihood on that. I wouldn't be surprised if Billups does not get an extension. I know that it's a tough situation for coaches to go out in what can be perceived as a lame duck status. I'm not saying that he is or isn't a lame duck or anything like that. It's just, you know, coaches generally want that security. I get the feeling, and this is only my feeling, I don't have any info on this, but I get the feeling it's go out and earn your job, win your job, go out and coach. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be interesting to watch because, again, there's not going to be a lot of talent. What does winning your job look like? Is it developing guys but still making sure that Portland has solid draft position? Is it just winning games and accelerating the timeline? Is there nothing he can do? Does he not have to worry about it because it's already going to be set and we're not going to know about it? Cronin, of course, he's not going to talk contract situations to the media. It's his policy. I respect it. He's still got to ask the question. And he, of course, does not have to answer it. That's what's going to happen every time. But he did confirm Billups going to be back. I don't really have a problem with it. I know a lot of fans do. You know, I think Billups has his strengths and his weaknesses. And do I think he's the guy to sort of bring a team to the promised land? No, not right now. Doesn't mean he couldn't be, not right now, but the Blazers aren't a coach away from the promised land. And, you know, he also did talk as I wrap things up on Media Day about, you know, he needs to continue he's a big look in the mirror guy. What can I do to get better? And I think there are things that could be done better. I think there are things that he's improved on already, though. Like, remember last season, refusal to challenge anything and just letting these egregious missed calls go by? Well, that kind of went away, didn't it? Like, he fixed it. And you can maybe quibble with one or two challenges or not challenges over the course of a season, but it's not like he would just ignore it and hold the timeout. Oh, I don't want to waste my timeout. And then all of a sudden it's the fourth quarter and you're down 16. You go, well, why did I hold on to that timeout? That fixed itself. And I'm curious to see what gets fixed next season. A lot to talk about this summer. Be back later this week, probably on Friday. We'll continue doing this twice a week all summer long. If you want to ask a question, kind of an open mailbag, I'm not really going to do a mailbag episode per se, at least not right now. But you can always get at me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Peter Sampson, S-A-M-P-S-O-N. If there's a topic you want me to hit, we can get into it. You want to ask a question, I can give a reasonable answer, either I'll have the information, I'll know what's up, or, you know, I'll give it my best guess. Possibly on Friday with the next episode, I'll have some information on Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant, not at Media Day. The only Blazer that did not speak to the media. I would expect some news there soon. I'll leave it at that. You can chew on that for a little bit. In the meantime, subscribe to this podcast wherever you get a podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Sampson, S-A-M-P-S-O-N. This has been Bleav in Blazers on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.